The Air Force may be on a path to insolvency because of its weapons contract, so it's reinventing its approach to focus more on strategic sourcing. Your agency may be able to use some reinvention of its own, especially in larger IT contracts. Richard Spires, CEO of Resilient Network Systems and former Chief Information Officer at the Homeland Security Department's writing about the right relationship an IT contractor needs to have with your agency's program office. Richard, it's great to have you back on the program as always. You waste no time in this piece, which is the fifth of a series of looks at successful IT programs, in getting to what is becoming the bane of existence both on the program officer side and the contractor side, and that's lowest price technically acceptable. It's a four-letter word in Washington now, Richard.
Well put, Francis. Yeah, I mean, I must say that I really think that is mainly hurt when you're looking at any kind of complex IT implementation. The use of LPTA is just not in keeping with what we need. I've always said to contracting officers and procurement officials, look, I'd much rather pay a bit of a premium. I mean, the downside risk of us not getting it right when we're implementing programs is so great that saving a few bucks up front on a contract negotiation over LPTA just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
You write in this piece in Federal Computer Week, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, the price of failure on such programs so much greater than any premium that you pay. You also write about the elimination of risk. And in a risk-adverse environment like we're in government right now, it's striking to me that it's been difficult for the vendor community to make that case. Hey, if you did this on a best value basis, you'd wind up mitigating your risk a lot more than going LPTA, at least in the long run. Might not seem like it up front, I suppose.
Well, and it gets to another point that I make in this, in what I feel, which is we need better alignment. Procurement organizations and contracting offices in particular, they need to be incentivized on the ultimate outcome of the program, not just on getting in place a clean contract vehicle. I know that, you know, in today's environment, that's difficult enough. But frankly, when we don't have that alignment, it makes it extremely difficult for program managers to do their job well.
What does the good alignment look like in that area, Richard?
Well, and this is a pretty bold statement, but I really do believe that when you set up a program management office in government, that the procurement officials, those contracting officers, they need to report to the program manager. I mean, they need to be right aligned with what the outcomes of that program need to be. And it's not just about contracting. It's about ultimate mission and business delivery of what that program is supposed to deliver for government.
Does that get turn out to be kind of a fiefdom or a turf battle in most cases, though?
I'm afraid it is. I mean, in my experience.
Yeah, I mean, where it doesn't work well, is that the reason it doesn't work?
I mean,
work
and
well?
I want to be careful. I mean, I've seen it work well. I mean, it's not like I've got a good examples where it has worked very well, but I've seen too many cases where it's just not. And the procurement officials are not aligned well with what the program office really is trying to do, and that's a bad combination.
And you referred to a point that you made in one of the earlier pieces, and we'll get a link to that one too. Program managers are often stuck with contract vehicles that are ill-suited to the work that needs to be done, and they have no recourse. And when they're wedged in like that, I mean, how many times have you seen a program manager look at something, understand that they're kind of, I mean, almost set up to fail, and they're exasperated and frustrated from the very beginning of the program?
Well, I'm afraid that I've seen that too often. They're struggling, right, to try to work within a contract vehicle that is not well suited for the work that they're trying to get done. Happens too often, and we need better planning, and frankly, we need a much more flexibility on the procurement side of this in order to meet those needs.
You also focus, I think, very importantly on the communications element that's involved. When reviewing a program, I look to see whether the contractor employees are well integrated into the program and clearly understand their role, which, duh, you hope they do, but this is the important part, I think, the roles of others. Everybody knows, it's like a sports team, where everybody knows how to play their position, and they also know what's expected of all the other people that are on the field at the same time.
You know, absolutely, Francis. And too many programs, you don't have that, and they don't have that full visibility. And in fact, the best programs I've ever seen that deliver the best is when you get to this environment. I like to call it kind of a badgeless environment. I mean, we all wear our badges, but when it gets to the point and you feel like you're part of one team, and it doesn't matter whether you're on, you know, on the government, a government employee, or you're contractor A or contractor B, what you really are is you're part of the team on this program, and you all understand your roles, you play them well, and you're there to ultimately deliver the outcome that's necessary to be successful.
Is that primarily a leadership issue that drives that kind of environment, and does it come just from the government side leadership-wise, or is it also important on the vendor side?
I think it's a shared responsibility, but it is a leadership issue on both sides. I think it's also, and let me say on the government side, it's really important that the government leadership understand that they've got to be very careful they don't get to a we versus them kind of environment themselves, right? I mean, so many times I've heard government people say, well, it's the contractor's fault that things aren't going well. And in almost always, there's some shared culpability here. I mean, we need to look, when I was in government, I'd tell people, let's look ourselves in the mirror first and see what we can do better to improve. Now, that doesn't mean that contractors are not always responsible here, too. And they need to bring the leadership. And by the way, one of the things that they need to really look out for is the fact, I mean, they're motivated by profit. I get that. I understand that. I've been there. But they also need to have alignment with trying to help the government get to that ultimate outcome. And that's very important that their senior leadership in the contractor community understand that and drive that as well.
One of the things that you're getting at in this piece, Richard, was reinforced in my mind the other day. Was speaking to a person working at a contractor, talking about a program, not a whole high-profile one, but it didn't go very well. And I said, when did you know that this was going to be troublesome, that it wasn't going to work out the way that the client wanted it to work out? And this person said, the second meeting that I was in, the second week we were on the job, there were three different people from the government side that were talking to us, and all three of them referred to us as you guys. And it's exactly what you're getting at here about this badgeless environment. They didn't have that there. And that's when this person with a lot of experience doing these things knew that this particular one was in trouble.
A great example, Francis. And that's exactly the wrong tone you want to set, right? You really need to build that environment. And I recognize, look, there are contractual issues, and there are certain things that contractors can and cannot do. That I get on the formal side. But what you really want to do is on the informal, get to a real team environment. And frankly, the government people, the program manager on the government side and his or her team, they need to set that tone right from the beginning.
You write in this piece, a contractor's program leader should understand the ultimate success outcomes for the program and be prepared to support changes even if they're not in a contractor's near-term best interest. I'm underlining that in red because there are a lot of people, especially in the environment that we're in now, where we're in a quarter-to-quarter-to-quarter-to-quarter environment, Richard, that have a hard time thinking beyond the short-term interest. And it's understandable. I'm not criticizing it, but I think you rightly point out, long-term, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and this is the problem, right, where you're right. Many of the contractors are looking very short term, but ultimately these programs go on for a while. I mean, many of these programs, frankly, with new development technologies, with bringing in cloud capabilities, you just don't need the number of people. You actually want smaller teams, more agile-based kinds of methodologies, and contractors need to recognize that and help programs get to that because they're ultimately going to be more successful, even though it's not in that contractor's near-term best interest.
You point out something here, and I didn't see it in the words, but I read it between the lines, Richard. You wrote, government PMs are looking for contractor leaders to help fix these issues, not defend their own near-term self-interests. And what I read between the lines is government PMs are looking for vendors that want to serve their customers first and trust that the business end of it will take care of itself in the end, which my experience, my understanding is that it does just that.
I believe it does, and I was fortunate enough to work for a couple of companies where we really did have that view, and I'd like to see the whole contractor community have that view in serving the government. I mean, I recognize that that's Maybe some would call me being naive for that kind of statement, but I really do believe that that is the best for the long run for the contractor as well.
You close this piece out in Federal Computer Week by writing, if companies want to build a solid reputation for delivery excellence, they should develop a culture of both competence and efficiency and recognize helping the government achieve its objectives is well aligned with companies' long-term growth prospects. What do you see, if anything, changing the minds of companies that are focused on short-term rather than long-term? Because that that makes sense as you present it, that that's a really critical element.
Well, I would just reiterate that I think you got to have companies that recognize building these long-term relationships with their clients and delivering excellence, and you know what, and even being willing to say, look, this doesn't make sense. Let's do it this way. It's going to be a lot more efficient, not cost you as much money. That's gold as far as what government people want to hear.